And this morning we continue in our series in the Gospel according to St. Luke. Our reading is taken from the first chapter, verses 26 through 45, where under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, St. Luke wrote these amazing words of life, this amazingly good news. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have freely given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, God was giving his servant Gabriel some pretty amazing tasks, don't you think? First, he was dispatched to go to Jerusalem to that aged priest, Zechariah, who was married to Elizabeth, who was also advanced in years, and who was barren. And Gabriel relayed God's message to Zechariah that he and Elizabeth were going to conceive and bear a son and name him John. And John would be the forerunner, the one who would prepare the way for the coming of God's Messiah. And 6 months later, God turned to Gabriel once again. I have something even better. That was just the warm-up. Something even better. I'm going to send you to Elizabeth's young relative named Mary, who lived in Nazareth, this out-of-the-way place. But you're going to reveal this amazing news that this young woman, this virgin, is going to conceive and bear a son and call his name Jesus. Therein, Gabriel was tasked with what we call the Annunciation, the announcement to Mary, the virgin, that she would bear the Savior of the world. This morning, let us consider this Annunciation and the days that followed under three headings. First, the conception of Jesus. Second, the faith of Mary, his mother. And third, the joy of Elizabeth and John. First, the conception, the uniquely miraculous conception of Jesus. When Gabriel announced to Mary that she would conceive a child, she asked one of the most legitimate questions ever asked by any human being. How will this be, since I am a virgin? More literally, since I have not known a man. This does not happen. And indeed, it had never happened before, and it has never happened since, and it never will happen. This was a uniquely miraculous conception. The conception of John had been miraculous in the sense that his mother, Elizabeth, was aged beyond the childbearing years. She was barren. But John was conceived in the normal way by his father, Zechariah, and his mother, Elizabeth. Here, no human father is mentioned. Did you catch that? We'll get to that more in just a moment. Gabriel's response is a beautifully worshipful response. Gabriel's response to Mary's question revealed like he had prepped. He was anticipating that question, that really good question. How can this be? Gabriel was ready. Gabriel was a worshiper and servant of the triune God. And notice the Trinitarian response that he gave in verse 35. The Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Gabriel first mentioned the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. As we confessed earlier in our service from the Nicene Creed, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, by the supernatural, mysterious operation of the Holy Spirit. Again, no human father is mentioned. This is going to be a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. But the Heavenly Father is mentioned. The Heavenly Father is mentioned. Gabriel also said to Mary, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, this image of overshadowing was used in the Old Testament to describe the glory cloud that overshadowed the tabernacle, signifying the presence and activity of God and the revelation of His will. And in verse 32, Gabriel referred to Jesus as what? The Son of the Most High. So here Gabriel is speaking of the Most High with reference to God, the Heavenly Father, whose will it was that His Son become flesh in order to save you and me. Such is the Father's love for you. And then, of course, Jesus Himself, the second person of the Trinity, the one who would be called holy. He was the Son of God who was going to become the Son of Mary. And in that truth, through the Annunciation, Gabriel announced something very important concerning our Savior. He is true God and true man in the same person. Thus, he can uniquely be our mediator, the mediator between God and man, reconciling man to God in his person, in his incarnate person. As Augustine put it, he became what he was not, namely man, without ever ceasing to be what he was, namely God. God and man in the same person. As we confess in the Nicene Creed, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. Now that word "of" is packed with meaning that we need to understand. Our salvation is contained, in a sense, in that word "of." When we say "of the Virgin Mary," we as Christians mean that he was conceived of her substance, as the Westminster Confession of Faith puts it. Or as the Athanasian Creed puts it, he is God, Jesus is God, from the substance or the essence of the Father, begotten before time, and he is man from the essence or substance of his mother, born in time, completely God and completely man. So it's important to know that this uniquely miraculous conception does not mean that Jesus is some sort of being detached from the human race. No, for us and our salvation, he was made true man, born into and connected to the human race in order to redeem the human race, all who will place their faith in him as the incarnate Savior of the world. From Mary, he assumed our human nature without sin. That's part of the mystery and miraculous nature of this conception. Without sin, in order to redeem and heal and turn our humanity, our flesh, indeed all creation, back to God and make all things new. For as Gregory Nazianzen, the great church father, put it, the unassumed is the unhealed. He assumed our flesh, became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh in order to heal us and turn us back to God. Thus, we did not sing in our hymns this morning that Mary is the incubator of our Lord. She is truly the mother of our Lord, from whom he received his human nature, yet without sin. Through Mary, he really is the physical descendant of Abraham, the offspring of Abraham, as Galatians 3 and Hebrews 2 make clear. As we sang earlier in our service, he really is the rod of Jesse, of his lineage, of the key of David. As Gabriel told Mary, he is the son of David. As the Lord promised David in the Old Testament reading from 2 Samuel chapter 7, which Kenneth read earlier, Jesus really did come from David's body. He is the Savior of God's people. Salvation really is, as Jesus told the woman at the well, of the Jews. And through Jesus, through Mary, Jesus really is the seed of the woman, promised in Genesis 3:15, who came to crush the head of the serpent and destroy all his works. And as St. Paul put it in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman. Of woman. Or as the King James put it, made of woman. Born under law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus was not and is not pretending to be human. He really is human. He really did take on our flesh, our mortal flesh, in which he felt hunger and thirst and fatigue and joy and sadness and pain and our human woe, and in which he died for our sins. As St. Bede put it, the new era of salvation begins with the conception of Jesus in Mary. Something radically new was taking place. As Eve contained in her womb all humanity that was doomed to sin, now Mary contains in her womb the new Adam, who will father a new humanity by his grace. So in the first place, the miraculous conception, the uniquely miraculous conception of the Holy One, the sinless one, yet the truly human one, the Christ child, Jesus, our Savior. And in the second place, the faith of Mary, his mother. Amazing faith. A model of faith. Gabriel said to her in verse 28, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Mary was a godly young woman. And God entrusted her with the godliest of tasks, namely submitting to his will and bearing his son, the Savior of the world. J.C. Ryle had this to say about Mary's favored place among the human race. He said, "No woman was ever so highly honored as the mother of our Lord. It is evident that one woman only out of the countless millions of the human race could be the means whereby God could be manifest in the flesh. And the Virgin Mary had the mighty privilege of being that one." God blessed Mary with his favor. And Mary's response was faith. That's always the proper response to favor, to blessing. It's faith. It's humble, receptive faith. After Gabriel reminded her that nothing is impossible with God, and we should all hear that afresh this morning, shouldn't we? Nothing is impossible with God. Mary said in verse 38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." As St. Theophylact of Bulgaria put it. You ever heard a quote from Theophylact of Bulgaria? He said, Mary was saying, "I am a tablet. May the writer write on me whatever he will." She receives the word of the Lord. A word that had never been given to anyone. A word that was prophesied. As we heard from our call to worship through Isaiah 700 years before. But a word that had never been given to another saint of God. She receives it. "I am a tablet. You write upon me whatever you will." As Elizabeth said in verse 45, Mary was blessed. She had favor, the favor and happiness of heaven, in other words, because she believed what was spoken to her from the Lord, that it would be fulfilled. Friends, we all want to have a M-E-R-R-Y Merry Christmas. But the way to do that is to have a M-A-R-Y Merry Christmas. One in which we, during this Advent season, humble ourselves before God. Surrender our will to his. receive the gift of his Son by the power of his Spirit, believe his gospel, allow Christ to be formed in us by his grace, and as his yielded child, say, I am your servant, Lord. Let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. The conception of Jesus, the faith of Mary, and third, the joy of Elizabeth and John. If Elizabeth had been full of self, we might imagine her being envious of Mary. Even though this amazing thing had happened to Elizabeth, it is human nature to turn right around and be envious of someone about whom something better is happening. It is our human nature not to celebrate other people's blessings, but to envy them, to be resentful about them. And if she were in the flesh, living in the flesh rather than the Spirit, if she were full of self rather than the Spirit, we might expect Elizabeth to be envious and resentful of Mary. She might have asked, why didn't God choose me to be the one who would bear the promised Messiah? I've been waiting for a child all these years, and I just get to be the mother of the forerunner, the warm-up act. And this unmarried teenager gets to be the mother of the main attraction, the Messiah of our people. How can this be? But nothing like that came from Elizabeth's mouth, because Elizabeth wasn't full of self. She was full of the Spirit. So what did she do? This is an indication, this is a general principle, that you're full of the Spirit. You celebrate other people's blessings. And that's exactly what she did to the max. She celebrated Mary's good news and honored her, this young relative of hers. She said in verse 42, blessed are you, my young cousin. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me? I mean, she doesn't feel worthy here. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord, again, not the incubator, the mother of my Lord should come to me? Full of the Spirit, Elizabeth was full of humility, thanksgiving, and joy. And so was her son. Did you catch that? Isn't that one of the most humbling and precious passages of Scripture? She said in verse 42, for behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Remember why this was the case. Zechariah was told by Gabriel in verse 15 of chapter 1 that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So here, full of the Spirit, John leaped for joy in the presence of his Lord. Now, I can't help but noting that as our Supreme Court, for whom we should be in fervent prayer, as our Supreme Court considers a case that could overturn that travesty of justice, Roe v. Wade, that this passage, we ought to send this passage up to our justices, just to remind them of God's truth. Some of them believe it. We need to remind them, as we all need to be reminded. This passage is a beautiful picture, isn't it, of the sanctity of the unborn child. It's like a first century ultrasound, right here. That which inhabited the womb of Elizabeth was not a mass or a thing to be disposed of, but rather a human person loved by God, filled with the Spirit and literally leaping with joy. And that which was growing inside the womb of Mary was not a blob to be discarded, but rather Jesus, my Lord, as Elizabeth called him. She called him, who was growing in the womb of her cousin, my Lord. We sing at Christmas, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Elizabeth reminds us, Jesus, Lord at thy conception. Jesus, Lord in the womb. God's Son and God's proof that He, that God, has not discarded us, but has come to save us from our sins. Thus in Him Mary believed, and Elizabeth and John rejoiced. May we join with them, this holy band of worshipers, with humble, believing hearts, surrendering and rejoicing in the gift of Christ, the greatest gift ever given, the gift of Christ, God's Son, Son of Mary, our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.